Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Julia.
And I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Tabitha.
Welcome back, everybody. It's our final day with our couples week. Chris and I are a couple. Jonathan, Tabitha are a couple. And Julia and Rick are a couple. We're very happy to have you guys back on. Finally finish out this week. And pretty much end on the last scene of the movie. We'll have some stuff we'll be doing next week. But this is pretty much the crux of the minute. So we're going to talk about the movie, and then we're going to talk about a lot of other stuff. Minute 105 begins with Max offering something she has and ends over a pint of beer, the way all minutes should end. So, and then we finally get to hear what we were talking about yesterday. Max is offering up her vast knowledge, I assume, and then come to some sort of terms on the with Kittredge not involving the courts. So that's it for them. They're gone in about, 2 seconds. We are now zooming out from a pub and learning from this newscaster who always tells us exactly what we need to hear, that there was a crash inside of a tunnel and that a helicopter and the crash inside of the tunnel and that the pilot died. Not only does Jim not get explained, there's not two people that died, so Jim is gone. Like, he is CIA'd away. He is... Yeah. Never to be talked about again.
Yep. Never existed.
Yep. Adios, Jim. And it pans out, and they are in a bar. It looks like England.
With the Cranberries playing.
Yep.
Okay.
I have a little soundtrack.
I don't know about that, because there's a fleur-de-lis on the light fixture, so that tells me they're in France.
Well, the train was going to France.
It was, but didn't get there. Guy's shirt there is where... The guy's shirt he's wearing is the anchor... that's the name of the restaurant, and everybody else is dressed like you would dress if you said, "Hey, everybody, extras, we're in England."
And the TV news report guy sounds a bit more British than French.
They're drinking pints.
He has that stiff upper lip, you know, in a freak accident, blah, 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 blah. Like, he's saying nonsense. Like, this news report is malarkey, but he's saying it in such a deadpan way.
Where's the fleur-de-lis? Oh, on there? Oh, that's... I don't know if that's a fleur-de-lis. I mean, yeah, it is a fleur-de-lis. But...
I had frozen it there because I was looking at the graphic for the helicopter flying
into... The one that
into...
says crash?
Yeah, and they got the helicopter all wrong.
Okay. Yeah, that helicopter didn't even have skids. That's like more of an Airwolf type of helicopter. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's break down this second four... We see the crappy TV, and the TV has, you know, the anchor man talking about it. On the right side is the graphic for it, and it just says crash.
I just like that they have a stock, it's not a stock photo, but they have a stock image of a helicopter flying into a tunnel.
It happens a lot there, apparently.
Yeah, I guess.
They went to Google Images and just like typed in tunnel helicopter.
Wait, Google Images? No, this was 96. They did like AOL online image search.
It took them 2 hours to get
right.
They went to CorelDRAW and found a clip art of a helicopter. And they overlaid it onto the actual, because that looks like the actual tunnel.
Yeah.
I bet that's some CGI stuff. I bet that's some of the CG matte used for the tunnel.
Oh, that is absolutely clip art.
Because the tunnel looks, yeah, that helicopter looks like it's two-dimensional. I mean, it's hard to see. It's really far away, but it's crap. I love it.
I can just imagine the guy at the news station putting together that graphic, and he's trying to assemble it, and then Clippy pops up. It looks like you're trying to put together a graphic for the news. Do you want some help with that? And it's like, no! Go away!
Hey, was that Clippy, or was that me, Stuart? You sure it wasn't me? You guys talking about trains? No, those are helicopters. Well, those are my second favorite things that move around.
That's for my brother, Gewert.
Gewert. Yep, that's me. Stuart and Gewert. I love trains. He loves helicopters. That's how my mom tells us apart, because we're twins. Conjoined. We're conjoined, but Gewert is like on my lower half. That's why you haven't seen him in the movie.
Is he vestigial?
Let me tell you about the noter.
Okay, speaking of twins and matching, did you notice that Ethan is wearing a t-shirt the same color as the shutters on the restaurant.
You mean the color blue?
Yes.
Well, it's one of the it's a basic primary color. I mean, the guy next to him is also wearing blue.
The shade is very
and the
close,
girl
though.
Too.
And if you look over to the left, the umbrella is also blue. Where are we going with this?
There's a lot of blue. Awful lot of blue in this scene.
So did there Ethan call up Luther and be like, Luther, I want you to meet me at the restaurant? He'd be like, which one? He'd be like, I'm wearing a blue shirt. You know which one.
Well, when we see what Luther's wearing, it's red shirt, blue shirt.
Yep.
Mm. For red shutters and blue. No, red windows, blue shutters. Yeah.
And he's got a red shirt and Ethan has the blue shirt.
Yeah, everybody's just color coordinated to the building.
Is this a good time to talk about that couple that's like at the table right next to him if you look right through the middle? Because they're kind of weird. And I'm wondering if they're like spies keeping an eye on them, because she just looks at her watch and he doesn't say anything, but he just stares at her the entire time. And then there's the guy over behind them looking at a newspaper. And we all know that nobody looks at a newspaper outside unless they're a spy. So I'm thinking that maybe they're keeping an eye on them.
It's a C
or they're
team.
Just really weird.
Also, the people in the background are just terrible extras.
Yeah, they're horrible.
She obviously gives, like, she's like ratcheting it up to a 6. The other guy is a 2.
Well, I think their backstory is supposed to be that they just broke up. She broke up with him, and he's plotting to kill her.
Oh, I can't wait to get you on a train so I can shoot you.
Oh, my God.
That's what he can't wait for.
Did someone say train?
Stuart, you're back.
Are you talking about helicopters?
Oh, that's Gourd. Gourd is scary.
Whoa.
That's messed up, man.
Can you imagine that's coming out of his chest like Quato? Gross.
Ethan, get your ass to Mars.
Get your ass to Mars, but make sure you use a helicopter.
Yeah, there's a lot of background flurry going on. When he walks out of the bar, it looks very, I almost said parochial. That's wrong. It looks very like country
provincial?
Mouse. Provincial. Yes.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Oh, you mean like in France?
Yeah.
Shush. It's not France. It's England.
To me, he looks kind of mavericky coming out of that.
But then when you look behind Luther, there's like metal railings and much. It's much hipper, like England is.
Can you imagine, though, Ethan walking out of that restaurant, going up to Luther and be like, you never close your eyes
exactly.
But I kiss your lips. And Luther will be like, does this ever work, Ethan? And Ethan will be like, let me know tomorrow.
Goose comes sliding in from the left. I think it's cute because he's asking how his mom and dad are. So obviously
Uncle.
Ethan just had
his uncle.
Uncle and mom. He's asking how they're doing. So Ethan just had the longest, most expensive phone call ever in that bar. How much do you think it costs to call Indiana?
He's got a CIA calling card, I think. Like one of those IMF calling cards, Call anywhere for free.
Oh, do you think he called like he did in that when he was in that box of emotion, glass box of emotion was like,
yep.
He's like IMF Niner Delta Quadrant, and he just gets moved in there.
You don't think Ethan called collect and they said, okay, what's your name? And he said, first name Ethan, last name, heard you got released by the DEA, hope you guys are okay.
And then hung up with him.
First name, had a baby, last name, it's a boy. I also think it's cute that Ethan calls pot dope. And he's like, they're dope smugglers. Got them confused with dope smugglers. That's such a dad thing. My dad would still calls it dope.
Ethan's family situation, it's his mom and then Uncle Donald. Is his mom and Donald, are they siblings or is Donald Ethan's stepfather and he never called him dad?
Oh, well, I'm hoping they're siblings.
Okay.
And they talk about Ethan kind of explains that he's going to quit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what they're inferring.
Yeah.
And that he doesn't know why he would go back.
Yeah, Claire's gone. Why would he go back?
It took me remembering this or watching this again minute by minute to remember that was even a lie. I'm like, oh, yeah, he wasn't going to be an agent anymore. I mean, how many times has he either gone rogue or quit more than once? But At this point, this is the first time where he's actually not going to get in return.
Maybe they gave it that way as an out in case the movie wasn't successful. So they could say, no, we're not going to do another series.
What?
Wasn't there a whole nation of rogue people at one point?
That's different. They all faked their deaths and, you know, seemed to be dead. And then they were brought into another spy ring.
Oh, okay. Yeah, haven't seen that one.
Yeah, they're not quitting because they don't want to do it anymore. They are, you know, faking their death and then becoming more powerful and as assassins. That's totally different.
They're being struck down and becoming even more powerful than you could ever imagine, Darth.
Luther, strike me down and I shall become more powerful.
Are you a beetle? Are you Ringo? You sound like Ringo. Hey, it's Ringo Starr, everybody.
I can't, Luther. The IMF is evil. Then you're truly lost, Ethan.
Do Octopus's Garden. Come on, do Octopus's Garden.
So that's where this minute pretty much ends with them talking about that. There's not much going on. They're sitting there quietly reminiscing, and he is is no longer avowed. He's disavowed. He is reavowed. So Luther's on the up and up, and Ethan is ready to quit.
Did Ethan get hit in the eye at any point on the train, or is it just they gave him a black eye or something just to make him look like he got beat up a little?
Remember that hand that was skewered by the helicopter blade? The one that kind of punched him?
Yeah, but that was on the other side. That wasn't the left side.
Oh.
Or the right side. It was the left side that got hit.
It would be fitting if he turned the other cheek, just like Job. That's the only reference I have for Job.
When I was taking my notes, I kind of ended up just falling down a cranberry hole. And so I've been listening to Cranberries for the last
classic
3 days.
Classic cranberry hole.
It's called a cranberry bog.
Oh, sorry.
But I'll let it pass.
Yeah, don't you watch those commercials? Those two guys standing in there?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Let's not let it linger.
That door is getting a lot of action. Well, with this ending the way it is, and this being the next to last week of our podcast, I definitely wanted to talk to you guys because you guys have a unique ability in that Julia's seen the movies. Rick has just now seen this movie and hasn't seen you haven't seen any of the other movies, right?
I have not.
Tabitha and Jonathan had seen the first movie, but have now watched all of them recently. So it's an interesting mix because also we're before Fallout comes out. So I wanted to ask you guys, and you guys can answer collectively or separately, whatever you want to do. What thing are you most excited about happening in the new movie Fallout that you've learned from seeing these movies? What would be interesting to you now that you are watching these movies? Rick, this might not be a question for you yet. The second question is a two-part question. The first is, what are you looking forward to in Fallout? Second one is, what are you looking forward to when we cover Mission Impossible 2, which is a completely different movie also? You can do that in any way. There's no wrong or right way to answer this. Do whatever you want.
Mustache.
Well, that's easy. Jonathan's just looking forward to that mustache.
Yep.
Julia's probably not looking forward to it because the mustache is not the same length as his beard.
Well, then no, I'm not looking forward to it.
So you go on the anti-mustache side. We have, I think now there are two of you in our group. If you come into the IMF group, there's now going to be two people that don't like the mustache.
Then I will have to join so that I can support that other person.
I'm kind of with Julia on this. I've started off thinking it was a good look, but now I'm like coming around to the whole, hey, you know, if you're going to maintain a mustache, maybe maintain the rest of your face too. Like put a
maybe, maybe he starts the movie clean shaven, and as the movie goes on, it scruffs out.
Well, see, yeah, I'm just going to have to watch the movie for that detail alone to see how he
will you do
out.
That, Rick? Are you going to see Fallout now that you've kind of gotten the bug? Are you going to go see Fallout and not watch the other ones? That'll be super interesting.
I don't know if I can skip straight to 6. I mean,
I kind of see them as like the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
Do you really need to see every single one of them to understand the next one in the series?
You might want to watch at least
Rogue Nation.
Yeah.
So okay. At least you understand what's going on. But other than that, I think 2, 3, and 4 are all compartmentalized and you don't need anything else with them. Mm-hmm. You could have watched them by themselves. 5 and 6 definitely are the closest. There are parts of the other ones that are going to be in 6, but nothing else. But you, Tabitha, what are you looking forward to?
Lock and loading the fists. That's going to be exciting. I think part of me just wants to see if Ethan's ever going to actually get hurt. I mean, you know, he kind of looks sore sometimes, but it never seems like he breaks a bone or anything. And in the trailer, you see him crashing into cars and flying off his motorcycle and jumping onto everything. And he really is kind of immortal, but just seeing if anything happens.
Both in real life and in the movie.
Yeah. Well, we know in real life he did break his foot or his ankle, you know, that whole thing.
Only for 6 weeks, and then he was running on it again.
Yeah, that's the power of Xenu,
like Highlander metabolism.
Regarding the second movie, when you guys go through that, I'm looking forward to the parts that kind of made me laugh, like when the cars are spinning around on the mountain pass and then also jumping through the air at each other off their motorcycles.
Yep, because that's how physics work too.
Yeah, I'm excited for those things.
Yeah, that one and the spinning move on the motorcycle is also cool.
Yeah.
Where he like fires the gun while he's doing a front wheelie.
Yeah.
I like the slow motion work, like Tabitha was saying, when the cars are spinning, because it's not like the first movie. You know, you're kind of expecting a run of the mill action sequence, and then all of a sudden the action just kind of stops and everything's slow motion, and it's like, you know, lovers looking at each other across the dance floor, like, well, no, they're in cars that are spinning out of control, and it's hilarious.
It's a very different, and it's very different look, because they've never done that, obviously, again in any of the other ones. The style, it goes back to more of a normal action movie.
Yeah, thinking about the movies coming up, because we basically binge watched the second through fifth movie, they all just start to blend together in my mind, especially three through five.
Well, actually, we had seen one, and then we watched four and five. And then we went back and watched two and three.
Yes.
So that was really weird.
Because I wanted to make sure I had four and five in before the new movie came out.
Which one's your favorite?
Oh, goodness. Probably five or one at this point.
Really?
I think.
Not four? Is four up there at all? The four would be Ghost Protocol.
Probably. Like I said, it's starting to all blend together in my, like, four and five blend together in my head, because I think we watched them both in the same night. So, yeah, I can't even tell you which one is which right now at this point.
Well, five had the British gal that is going to the next movie, and four had the non-British gal that isn't going to the next movie.
Correct. And Julia, what about you? Because you've seen them all.
No, I haven't seen them all. I've only seen number one.
Oh, you're just like Rick. Great.
I am just like Rick.
So are you guys going to watch, are you going to pull a Carlisle and watch two through five? Or do you guys kind of like, you know what? I remember one being great. I loved one. Maybe I'll see six someday, but I'm all good.
I am certainly willing to. I wouldn't mind, based on reputation I'm gleaning from you guys, I wouldn't mind skipping number two.
You have to see number two to understand how good three and four become.
Okay.
It's all relative.
I will bring it back again to Fast and Furious. You can't just go one and then four. It's like you got to see two and three, which all have like bizarreness to them. And you have to see them to go, oh, they really made these better.
So it's like when you sit down to a meal, you eat your steamed vegetables first. That way everything else just tastes so much better by comparison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I will say that watching two and three back to back, that two was not my favorite kind of movie, but it was so crazy that watching three afterwards, it kind of made three kind of boring.
Yeah, I agree. Because once I saw three, I was like, I don't think I've watched three more than maybe two or three times, if that. But I've definitely seen two in the teens, and I've definitely seen five at least 20 times. But three, I just can't watch three that often, and I don't know what it is about it. It is
dry. It's cool, because it's going back to kind of a some sort of pattern. Yeah,
I mean, to me, J.J. Abrams hadn't really hit his stride as a director. It feels very TV to me, and it's
that's exactly what it is.
It's very sloppy in a lot of ways, and the pacing on it is just it picks up and then it slows down, and it's up and down, and it's just I can't get into it. It's just, yeah, I have a problem with it for some reason.
Well, because there's half of it is about being a normal person and having a wife and, you know, a life. And it's like, that's the boring stuff. I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that. Yeah.
It's going to happen in this movie, but hopefully it'll be ramped up to 11. So I'm excited about that. All right. So let's do one final thing before we go. We'll do the tech of the movie for you guys. It doesn't have to be tech of the app. You can do anything from this episode if you want, but it can be any tech from this entire movie. And we'll start with Julia.
Oh, okay. I have one. I thought of it. My favorite thing is the masks that get pulled away to reveal the person beneath. It's so iconic. That's the Mission Impossible thing. And they do it pretty good, especially for 90s special effects technology. It looks pretty great. And I love that it's such a important part of the story.
That's why you can't skip two. Two is mask crazy. There are so many masks in two. You'll be like, what am I watching? What is happening? It's great. And they also, in two, they introduced the neck thing. They put a little strip on your neck larynx that makes you mimic other people's voices. So that is a very cool tech.
I do like that they carried that technology through all of the movies after that one.
Yeah. And by four, they're actually showing you how they make them. Yeah. Like the little, in four, they actually have like the little grindy machine that's like whittling down the.
No, that
like,
was in three.
Like making it and then making the polymers and stuff. In four, and too, remember the machine breaks?
Yeah, the machine breaks in four. Yeah, that's what it is.
Right. It's like starting and then it like all rips up and like all the goo goes everywhere and it just kind of is ruined.
And then by the fifth one, they make it a joke in the fifth one.
That's great. Rick, what about you?
I kind of have to go back to the last time I was on the show. I kind of want to say the entirety of the vault.
The white vault.
Everything in that white room was so cool, from the sound sensors to the temperature sensor to the floor sensor that lit up like the Michael Jackson music video. And I mean, we can't talk about the white room without talking about Robert Donlow.
Robert Donlow.
He was as much of a fixture of that room as the desk that had the built-in chair.
That's my dad. My name's Stuart Donlow. How'd you guys know? He works for the FBI.
CIA.
He's kind of boring. CIA, whatever. I'm a kid. What do I know?
He took me to training day, and it wasn't what I thought.
He let me see that secret CIA museum. There are no trains there. But I know who killed Kennedy.
One heck of a gift shop there.
It's all redacted. Tabitha, what about you?
Oh, man, I was hoping you'd pick Jonathan first.
Jonathan, what about you?
Well, like Rick, I'm going to have to go back to my earlier guesting, and I really, really just want those clip-on 3D glasses that Chris was talking about.
Yep. That's still... Yeah, Chris, where are those? You said those free ones. Wait, he has a pair? It's a radio show. It doesn't matter. What is a cat?
We'll get to hear them clip on.
I'm going
to
show him so that way he sees them.
Nice. Oh.
Yep.
Hold on. I'll take a picture.
For the listeners, he has them and he is clipping them on.
For the listeners, he has them.
They flip up and down.
Yeah, there.
Now and they can work all on.
Put them down. Put them down, Chris. Put them down.
Put them down. Hold on one second.
Put them down.
Give me a second.
Oh, these are becoming troublesome. What's going on?
These suck, Chris. Come on.
They don't suck. They're actually really great. Anytime you go see a real D3D movie that actually works.
I don't know about cool, but it's a thing.
Well, if they work for 3D movies, that's cool.
Yeah, for those of us that wear glasses, that is very good.
It is.
I won't go see 3D movies because I have to wear those things on top of my glasses.
I'm not saying they look cool. I'm saying it is cool. Like the functionality is cool.
It's much better than having to wear the glasses over your other glasses. Yeah, it's
right. Right. Yeah.
All right. Now, Tabitha.
All right. Well, it feels kind of lame because it was in our minutes, but the red light, green light gum, and he got two uses out of it because he used it earlier on in the movie and then now on the helicopter. And so I'm going to go with the gum.
Oh, wait. Speaking of the gum, did you guys talk about this earlier in the podcast? Like, does he have a whole pack of that gum?
We did not talk about that, but yes, we assume so.
Yeah.
Speaking of things we're going to show you, I don't have it in front of me, but I own that gum now. I bought a recreation of that gum.
Really?
Online on Etsy. a gentleman makes it. But the problem is he actually puts it in the wrapper. So I've not opened the wrapper.
Oh. So you don't know what it tastes like.
So it's like Schrodinger's gum?
It's Schrodinger's gum. Right now it's whatever it wanted to be. It is neither red nor green. It's both.
What if it's not even red and green inside?
That's what I was going to ask. How do you know it's actually red and green?
Yeah.
Because he made the actual container that it's in. So I was just like, I have also seen pictures of it. That would be hilarious, though, if I open it up, I'm just like, damn it, it's just pink gum.
Right.
Oh, man. Exactly.
You've been catfished by the gum maker.
It's old, like, Topps baseball gum.
He got me. Yeah, it was one of my hiatus gifts. I bought it before my hiatus. So
nice.
I jumped the gum.
There's the door.
All right, I'll leave.
You open it up. This is just Bazooka Joe.
Yeah, this has a cartoon on the inside of it. Damn it. Well, that's great. We're actually going to hold off on Chris and I doing ours because we're going to do ours next week for our final week. But those are great texts. Thank you guys so much for coming on this week.
Oh, thank you for having us.
We really enjoy having you guys. We love talking to you guys about this movie. Now we get to hear about the things that you're working on. Let's start with this time I'm going to start with the Carlisles. Promote away.
Yes, we're currently me and my friend David Johnson are working on UHF 62nd. That's UHF 62ND. And we're going to be analyzing the movie UHF. Any Weird Al Yankovic fans out there, we're going to be going at it. And Tabitha's not going to be a host, but we'll probably see her every once in a while, and she's certainly my support, so she's always part of anything I do. So,
And she supports us so much over on the IMF, too. We love having you on there.
Oh, thanks. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, once I finally described to her what a podcast is, then she dove full force into it. But it takes
people
a while.
That's the way you go. It seems like you guys go full force into something. If you watch one movie, you're like, screw it, let's watch all six
in one
night.
Let's all do the same time.
That's awesome, though.
That is. It's very cool.
Rick, Julia, what about you guys?
We are the hosts of the Mad Max Minute podcast. You can join us over on our website, madmaxminute.com, or if Facebook is more your speed, you can find us by searching Mad Max Minute or our group, Mad Max Minute Beyond Microphone. We are also on Twitter, at Mad Max Minute. And, of course, you can subscribe to our podcast on most podcast platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, that other one, TuneIn, I think it's called. We're also on Instagram, but I very rarely use it.
Well, we use Instagram. I'll probably put up a picture of Chris showing everyone his flip-on Dwayne Wayne glasses, 3D glasses tonight. We're at Minute Impossible on Instagram, Min Impossible, M-I-N Impossible on Twitter. The Minute Impossible Force on Facebook. You can look us up that way. And we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/Minute Impossible. So if I'm doing Patreon, you know, I've got to do my shout out for our one Patreon right now. And that's Daniel, last name redacted. So thank you again for your support. And I noticed you changed your support. So even better, he went up again, Chris.
Oh, really?
He's awesome. All over the place. He went to the highest tier, then to the lowest tier, and now back to the middle tier.
Gotcha.
We must have pleased him in some way.
Yes.
Maybe it's because we keep shouting him out.
Exactly.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
So, yeah, talk to us anywhere you want on the webs, and we're also, all of our episodes are up at MinuteImpossible.com. So until next week, which will be our last week, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I have been Rick.
And I have been Julia.
And I have been the other Jonathan.
And I have been Tabitha.
This minute will self-destruct.
Boom.